Australia, how are you going? That's right, how are you going? It's NBA Australia. It is Thursday, June 10, all day. And I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes, Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. Here, in lockdown Larry Armour Studios.
You've still got to wear your mask outside, man.
Fuck off. Keeping you completely up to date. Giving you the lowdown and all the ins and outs of the NBA playoffs while repping Starry a bit. That's what we do here. We don't take things too seriously either. We leave that for the nerds. Oh, they love to be serious.
Hey, man, you can't be serious about thinking that Ben Simmons is a good defender, man.
anyway, big day today. Basically, we've got day 19 of the NBA playoffs. We've got Suns Nuggets game 2. We had CP3 out there just stomping everybody. Rudy Gobert's just having that well. Was announced as the fake defensive player of the year. And LeBron James is changing his number again. And we got another coach fired. That's right. We've got all that covered in the NBA Australia game wraps, as well as a juicy slab of That's Not a Knife. Old mate, no mate, spud of the knife, better than Lonzo Ball. We've got Yeah Nas. We've got the unpopular opinion of the day. We've got our back take, yes. We were serving up a flame girl take. There's no Australian player watch because none of the Aussies were in action today, but it is Thursday. Let's do an Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. Pretty easy one today. And we'll preview game 3 of Nets Bucks and game 2 of Yaz. That's a soft J. Clippers tomorrow, which would be good. And we'll finish up with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams. You little ripper. Right. Episode 630 of NBA Australia. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the shark attack.
You better. Or the snake attack if you're Charles Barkley. That was pretty funny, running away. But also, you better watch out for the attack of the anti-Australian bias if you're any Aussie in the bloody, no bloody Australians League. That's right, the NBA, the no bloody Aussies. Tell you what, let's start off today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Show at the Daily. That's right, the Daily Whip Around. Rudy Gobert's the stuff of tower stole Ben Simmons' Defensive Player of the Year award. An absolute shit pumping in the end, actually, as well. 84 first place votes for Rudy, the big Frenchman. To 15 for Big Simo, Box Hill Benny. Bam, Adebayo got one. Classic local Miami beat writer, no doubt, banging in a first place spot for Bam. You got to be pretty fucking high to have him, number one. But 464 points to Simo's 287. So not only does Joe Ingles lose the sixth man of the year, has to give it to his teammate, Jeremy Jordan Clarkson. Rudy Gobert beats out Big Simo for the Defensive Player of the Year. Draymond was a distant third. He had 76 total points ahead of Bam's 21. Giannis had 12 in fifth. Awesomely, Matty T. Aussie Matty T. Matisse Thybul came 11th. He got a third place vote. That is awesome. Or maybe a fifth place. Fifth. It'd be a fifth. There you go. It's a fifth. So Simo ends up 12th in MVP voting. And I believe second in Defensive Player of the Year. No, Matty T did get a third place. That's awesome. That would probably be a Philly beat writer. Gave him that one. Anyway, Simo, 12th in MVP, second Defensive Player of the Year. Pretty good year. Indy, as mentioned, fired their coach. That's right, Mad Monday, coming later and later and later. We're now up to four teams that are on a bit of a coaching search at the moment with Boston, Portland, Indy, and Orlando. Coach Nate Bjorkgren is out. They're sick of listening to hyper ballot all the time there in Indiana. And reckon this would be a pretty interesting landing spot for Terry Stotts, which would just be the latest in the Portland and Indianapolis love fest. Was it Jermaine O'Neal? Nate McMillan? Kevin Pritchard? The Sabonis connection? There's a lot of Portland Indy right there. I also reckon CJ McCollum on Indy would be pretty interesting. You talk about landing places for a dude like CJ McCollum where you're like, all right, what do we need? What do we need? Do we need more scoring punch? Who's our point guard? Does it really matter? We've got the Souvlaki King. Off we go. Maybe Carrots LeVert. What else we got? Ooh, maybe we could build something there. Anyway, other news. LeBron James changing his number from 23 to number 6. Again. But this time he's at least staying on the same team. Sure. Turns out he wanted to give 23 to Anthony Davis, who was like, nah, I'm good. I'll stay number three. LeBron's like, ah, well, I'll just go six anyway then. Fuck it. That's what my number is in Space Jam, so off we go. It's a bit weird. I feel like it's just a bit of a synergistic kind of marketing, you know? I'll talk about that later. DeAndre Hunter, he's gone for the year. Sad news for the Hawks. Torn meniscus in his left knee. He had some pretty rough swelling after game one when he returned from his sore knee anyway. So that really stinks for DeAndre Hunter. He's a gun. I love him. And it's a real, real, real shame for the Hawks that he can't go. The Celtics, Woj is out there reporting that Brad Stevens, that's right, the former coach at the Boston Celtics, now their head office, the front office head honcho, is out there. Hey, he's asking all the other teams, hey, man, can I have a permission slip, please, to talk to your coaches, please? Thank you. So apparently, according to Woj, he's out there talking to Chauncey Billups. I would love to see that one. I love Chauncey Billups. Darvin Ham and Charles Lee from the Bucks, Jamal Mosley from the Mavs, Ime Udoka from the Nets. They all sound pretty good, don't they? But I love Chauncey Billups. I think, look, you're not going to find anyone more respected in NBA circles than Chauncey Billups. And if you've got Brad Stevens ahead of him as well in the front office, you go, Chauncey, run it your way, and I'm here if you need a sounding board. I kind of like it, you know? I really like that. Plus, it's Chauncey coming home. Don't forget he got... he was drafted by the Celtics and then traded by Rick Pitino like halfway through these rookie season because Pitino is a fucking moron. Anyway, Pat Riley! He got fined. Classic, like Pat Riley gives a shit. Got fined $25,000 for talking about another team's player, saying how he'd leave the key under the doormat if LeBron would call him and tell me that he's coming home to Miami. What? What is Pat Riley on about? Thing is, you got to remember Pat Riley's older and shit. And he's like, yes, I'll leave a key under the doormat for LeBron James. It's like, Pat, I get that you're like a smooth mover, but leaving a key under the doormat, you're 76 years old. It's a pretty weird sort of thing. If he slid into my DMs, I wouldn't turn him away. he went on to say, I would do that, but I doubt very much that key is rusted now. LeBron, look, he's one of the greatest of all time. And for 4 years down here, if we want to go back and remember what those 4 years were like, it was 4 years in the finals, 4 years of excitement, two world championships. It was the best time for the Heat, so I wish him nothing but the best. And if he ever wanted to come back, I'll put a new shiny key under the mat. I like that you brought it full circle there, Pat, but it was a very tired metaphor. And he obviously got fined because LeBron, even though the season's done, remember, LeBron signed an extension, so it's not like he's a free agent or anything. And even then, like, the NBA season's still going, and he's got a contract for the next 2 years. Right, let's do today's game wrap of Game 2, Nuggets Suns.
Game wraps.
They're brought to you by DraftKings Australia. That's right, Daily Fantasy. It's the best. The playoffs are here. Our boys from down under are battling for the top spot as well. Jingles out there. Simo, you love to see it. And thanks to our friends at DraftKings Australia, you can get on the action as well. Take on the competition. And if you think you've got what it takes, then you can take home millions in prizes. And entry is cheap as. All you need to do is go to dkng.co/Australia. Join up with DraftKings Australia. Create an account. You know, bang in a bit of a contest. Choose your lineup. Stay within the salary cap. It's basically like daily super coach. It's awesome. Sit back, watch your players try to climb the leaderboard for your shot at the massive prizes on offer. So to enter, go to dkng.co/Australia. That's dkng.co/Australia. All the links are on our socials and on our website, so go check that out. What are you waiting for? Daily Fantasy is awesome. During the semis, it's great. You get a couple of games a day. It is great fun. So if you think you've got what it takes to beat me, I'm playing daily at the moment. I love daily. It's really good. Get on it right now. Test your basketball knowledge. Get right around Daily Fantasy with DraftKings Australia. DKNG.co/Australia. Right, today's game. We had one single game. Pretty easy day for your old mate Jimmy. Maybe that'll make this show shorter. 123-98. The Suns kicked the shit out of the Nuggets. We picked the Suns, so that was good. The Nugs, look, gave it a bit of a nudge early on, didn't they? They started off 1 of 14 from 3. Now, I'm no math magician. but 1 of 14 from downtown seems pretty bad. The crazy part was they were still only down 9 early in the second, but it was a really, really choppy first half. No one could hit anything. It was nice to see Will Barton get back out there for the Nuggets, but you did have two of the NBA's best offensive teams, both shooting below 40% for the entire first half. I think Phoenix got just over 40% right at the end. And it really felt like at halftime, with the Suns up pretty handily as well, mind you, like they're up 10 at the break, and you're like, well, it didn't really quite feel it. It was like 52-42. You felt like as soon as either team got into a bit of offensive rhythm, they might win it. Booker had 18-6 in the first half. Dario had 8 off the bench. He lit it up. It was awesome. Jokic was crushing it. He had 15-6-4. But the Nuggets end up shooting the entire half 4 of 22 from downtown. And this is a thing I've bemoaned a fair amount in these playoffs, right? When teams go, ah, we just better shoot our way out of this shooting slump, they have zero fucking plan B. And that's wildly, wildly tough when it's the Nuggets because they do have dudes who are really, really efficient and really, really proficient inside scorers. They got Joker, MPJ can get going. Like, MPJ is not a catch-and-shoot wing. He can do a lot of everything, but because he was a little bit hampered, he was just launching it from outside. And teams just fought, like we saw it with the Mavericks, we saw it with the Blazers time and time again. If your shooting just isn't going, then you've got no fucking chance. I don't know what's going on in the NBA right now, but when you don't have a backup plan beyond, we better hope that our shot falls today or we're fucked, you don't have much of a plan. You know, like Mike Malone was getting on his team, trying to sort of figure out on the fly, make some adjustments here and there, but nothing worked. The problem was they also had like a bunch of turnovers. The fouling was just a bit rampant. As I mentioned, it was really choppy. Then at the start of the third quarter, Phoenix just came out of the gates. Absolutely blazing. They end up like within a minute and a half of the start of the second half, they're up 17. You're like, what just happened? And then it only got worse for the Nuggets. CP3 went to work. He just orchestrated an ass-kicking the likes you haven't seen since, I don't know, the start of Romper Stomper. Jesus! It was wild. Like, Michael Bridges, there was a moment where CP3 and Michael Bridges had back-to-back buckets. Crowd is knocking in threes. The crowd was going batshit. And you're like, oh, this game is just toast. It was really rough for the Nuggets because they were out of it. Like, they were done. They were cooked. And it's one of those moments where you're like, hang on a second, is not playing in front of fans all year becoming like a weird sort of disadvantage when you, it like, is it like a compounding problem when you actually then go into an away arena and you have all the fans all up in your shit? And it can shake some teams. Like, Denver shouldn't be shook. Like, they're a pretty veteran team. They made a Western Conference Finals run last year. Like, what are we doing? But, and we saw the Hawks not be shaken at all. Shaken, not stirred. By the MSG crowds or by the Philly crowds. And they're out there rolling. But here we are now with, entertain us, with the Nugs getting absolutely beat down by the Suns in back-to-back games. Like, the way this second half just rolled off a cliff for the Nuggets, like, there was a tiny little moment in the middle of the third. They tried to fight back, but then CP3 just kept fucking hammering them, and it was over 20. Like, they got it down to 15, and you're like, oh, they might still have, no, it's 21. It was brutal. Oh, man, it was, look, it's one of those games where if you're the Nuggets, you're like, look, none of our dudes had it, but the problem is, none of your dudes had it in game one either, so it should be a little bit of a worry. Like, in that third quarter, Thrill Sap and the Joker were the only dudes who really had anything going, and that's a bit of a problem. Meanwhile, DeAndre Ayton was dominating. Jay Crowder was knocking in threes. Michael Bridges was getting everybody hype. And then in the fourth quarter, of course, Chris Paul's just like, oh, we better just completely ruin everything right now. Knocks in a couple of threes. The game's over. And that was it. So the Nugs, zero answers in this game. Phoenix rolled right over the top of them. And look, 11 Nuggets turnovers. You're like, oh, that's okay. But really, it's a little bit of a cause for concern where it's not even like, there was only 12 points off the 11 Nuggets turnovers. The thing is, Phoenix took care of the ball. They only had 7 and really, really just valued the possessions, which is what a very strange moment where you saw it in Clippers Mavs in the first round where Mavs had the same problem. They didn't value them. And then again, they just fall in love with the three-point shot and they'd get their ass kicked by a team who's actually driving to the rim, who's actually doing a little bit. The Nuggets didn't have that. 24, 13, and 6 for the Joker. The MVP, he gets announced as MVP. He can't do it all by himself, though. 24, 13, and 6, good game, but just, again, back-to-back games where he's been pretty much played to a standstill by DeAndre Ayton, which is awesome. Good to see his development. And also, heads up for like all the Warriors fans who are like, James Wiseman, shit! Well, DeAndre Ayton, a couple of years in the league, boom, now he's okay. Just settle down. Michael Porter Jr., 11 points, 6 boards, clearly struggling with his back, couldn't find his shot all day. We'll talk about him again in a second. Thrill Sap at 11 and 6. Will Barton back into the fray. You love to see that. 10 points for him, 2 of 5 from downtown. But the problem was everybody else, right? Air Gordon, he goes 6 points on 7 shots. Faku Kampato! 1 of 7 shooting, 1 of 5 from deep. Gross. 4 fouls, 3 points. Austin Rivers, 2 of 5 from the floor, ends up with 6 points, 1 of 4 from deep. Monty Morris, again, back-to-back horrible games from Monty. And this is a question I posed, I think, on Twitter, right? I'm trying to figure out if the Phoenix Suns are really this good or if the Blazers were just this bad. If Monty Morris goes from absolutely torching the Blazers in games 5 and 6 to turning into a giant spud against a team that actually plays a skerrick of fucking backcourt defense... Feels pretty bad if you're a Blazers fan. 1 of 7 from the floor from Monty. 1 of 3 from deep. 3 points total. He was brutal. The Suns, though, what a balanced attack it was today. They go 18 of 38 from downtown. No one hit more than 3 threes. The way they moved the ball was beautiful. They're all, like, there's the old coaching adage where the ball finds energy. And the Suns were fucking full of it today. All the starters were in double figures. Most of the bench did some damage. And, I mean, as mentioned, like the homie. When he was getting going early, goes 2 or 3 from downtown, has 8 points in that first half. That's one of those ones where you're like, ah, this might not be our day, if you're the Nugs. Booker has 18 points and 10 rebounds, goes 3-7 from downtown. Really nicely balanced game from Devin Booker. CP3 has 17 and 15 with 0 turnovers. That's right, 17 points, 15 assists, 5 rebounds, 0 turnovers. What a game. He might pop up again in a second. Ayton had 15 and 10. 2 fouls really early, but none after that. Great display of defense from DeAndre Ayton. Bridges had 16. He was everywhere. Crowder hit 3 of his 4 threes. He had 11 and 5. Talked a bunch of shit. Torrey Craig had 10. Hit an amazing circus and one that just basically burnt the place down. The Cams Johnson. He goes 2 of 8 for 7 points. Payne has 7 points as well. 3 of 5 shooting. And he's not called Etuan less. He's called Etuan Moore. That's right. 1 of 2 from downtown for Etuan Moore. 3-7 points. Phoenix curb stomp the Nuggets. They're up 2-0 in the Western semis. You love to see it. And this is a tough one, right? So the worst point differential through two games by basically in a best of 7 series since 1984. Cleveland against the Warriors through two games. These are the teams that eventually won the series, right? The Warriors over... Well, the Cavs over the Warriors in 2016 in the finals. They were 48 points in the differential, bad. Houston over Phoenix in the 95 playoffs, they were minus 46. And Portland over the Clippers in 16 were 41 points in arrears. The Bucks are currently minus 47 and the Nuggets are currently minus 42. So, look, there's hope. But geez, it doesn't happen often, does it? Yeah. Right, let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife.
That's a knife. CP3-0. It's the dyslexics Star Wars lovers display from CP3-0. It sounds like this squid trying to say 3PO. I love it. Anyway, 17 points, 15 assists, 5 rebounds, 0 turnovers. Chris Paul, have yourself a night. Thing is, it comes on the back of an amazing game one performance as well, where he just orchestrated, as mentioned in the game wrap, an ass kicking of the highest degree. But today's felt a little bit more clinical, where it's like, oh, hang on a second, I see an opening, we're going to run through it and completely obliterate this Nuggets team. 6 of 10 from the floor, 2 of 2 from downtown in that fourth quarter, just to really ram the dagger home. And that's why CP3 gets the That's Not a Knife, the NBA Australia approved performance of the night, because you could see the Joker going, oh, that, hello, is your Nikola Jokic, is that knife? That's not knife. And Chris Paul's like, nah, mate, this is a fucking knife. Bang. 3-3 from the free throw line. He had a block. He was doing everything and absolutely loving it. And it's going to be like, this is the best part of the playoffs, right? Where you have a game two performance and then it's like, well, what the fuck happens in game three? That's where it gets really interesting. We've got that tomorrow with Bucks and Nets. And we've got it again when the Nuggets take on the Suns in Denver for the first time in this series. But CP3 has been absolutely immense in these first two games. We'll talk about it again later. But I'll tell you what, 17, 15, 5, and 0 turnovers, it doesn't happen often. Because, again, we'll bash you over the head with some stats a little bit later. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Spud of the night means the rest of Denver, not named Joker or Thrill Sap, basically. Like, Michael Porter Jr. in that first half, we know that he's a streak scorer. And if he has a down half like he did in that first half today, he goes 1 of 8 in the first half, 0 of 6 from downtown. Ends up 2 of 9 from downtown, 3 of 13 for the entire game. So he goes 2 of 5 in the second half, but it did nothing to stymie the bleeding. And when you've got a superstar like Joker, and you're missing Jam and Jamal Murray in your backcourt, you finally get Will the Thrill Barton back. You need Michael Porter Jr. to step up and go, oh, I'm good, but he's back sore, so it's a bit tough. But then, as I mentioned earlier, Monty Morris, just brutal. 1 of 7 from the floor. Austin Rivers, 2 of 5. Facu Campazzo, 1 of 7. And Air Gordon, 6 points and 7 shots. They combined to shoot 6 of 26 and 3 of 13 from downtown combined. I mean, Michael Porter Jr. had 3 of 13 overall from the field. The fact that Air Gordon, Facu, Austin Rivers, and Monty went 3 of 13 from 3 is just absolutely shocking. So it's basically just going, oh, what's this? Oh, it's another spud. I'll throw it at the backboard. But the way they kept shooting, it's like, well, it's okay. The dam will break at some point and we'll knock some of these in. It's like, what is telling you that? Is it based on past performance or are you just hoping that a regression to the mean means that you're actually going to hit some of these? Because otherwise, you're just fucking whipping out a piece and shooting yourself in the foot time and time again with these threes. And if you don't think that's not playing into like the Suns' game plan of like, if they think they can outshoot us, fucking please let them go ahead. We'll out-execute them. So there you go. Spuds of the night. Pretty much everybody on the Nuggets not named Nikola Jokic or Paul Thrillsap. Who's old mate no mates, Jimmy?
Old mate no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Well, it's pretty clear that Coach Nate Bjorkgren is old mate no mates today. Because he's definitely got no fucking mates there in Indy. Like, that is unreal that he got fired by the Pacers 1 year into his tenure there. Do you know just how hated you've got to be to get fired by the Pacers? Seriously, they've had like two coaches for the last decade, and every single coach they've had since 1990 has gone at least three and a bit seasons. Even Spud Jim O'Brien, who was fucking horrible. And that is just one hell of a player mutiny. But it also seems like it is a franchise-wide looking at this guy going, we have made a horrible mistake. So, look, good on the Pacers for recognizing their mistake and going, right, we're cutting our losses. He's got one more guaranteed year. We'll pay him off. See you, Coach Nate, on your fucking bike. But at the same time, A, the Pacers hate eating money. They hate it. They're in a small market. They can't afford to do it. They really, really don't enjoy doing that. B, he was their choice after a pretty big coaching search as well last year. Because C, the bloke they will let go because they're like, well, this guy will fix it. That's right. The coach they fired is now turning around the Hawks and getting them to the semis. Like, Nate McMillan is sitting there going, yeah, fuck you. Fuck you, Pacers. Yeah, what do I get? Where's my thanks, you dickheads? Just watch me. I'm going to take this Atlanta team to the fucking finals. But I think the old mate, no mates part of Nate Bjorkgren is just so writ large, right? Because all the stories that have come out as well, like since the end of the season where it's like every player hates him, apparently, allegedly. TJ Warren is all like, yeah, man, I'm just going to get surgery. I fucking hate this guy, allegedly. But all the stories that you heard about him controlling communications, him controlling the way that specific parts of the franchise, parts of the team were operating and talking to each other. It was very clearly like not working. A little bit has got to be on the pace as well. Like they've got to go, yo, coach, right, homie, you need to chill on this a little bit, right? But I get that coaches have a plan. They have a way of running things. And for the most part, that's what's made them successful. If all of your players think you're a complete and utter fuckwit though, maybe, just maybe, I think we might have learned a valuable lesson about the Bjorkgren appointment, right? Maybe, just maybe, before you hire a coach, ask your players what they fucking think of him. You idiots. Pantsing in the night. Oh, pantsing the night. Joker, he just pulled a Dirk, didn't he? Gets the MVP award and then gets your ass beaten. I mean, the problem was, at least I appreciate the NBA waiting till the second round of the playoffs before they announce the MVP. That's the smart thing to do, obviously, because they got burned. They give Dirk his MVP. He gets bounced in the first round by the Warriors back in 07. And it's just an absolute shit show. But Joker, come on, man. You can't get the MVP award, then turn around and just have an absolute spud outing. I mean, it is just... It was 100% like the popular kid in the school. He's like achieved some great award. He's up there at the podium in front of the entire school assembly. They're like, and here you go, Nikola. And they hand him the thing, and then the fucking just lunatic little kid out of nowhere just goes, oh, I fucking eat a dick, and dacks him. Love it. On your sons. Who was better than Lonzo Ball today, Jimmy?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. As long as everybody is staying at home, because that's where Lonzo is. Monty Morris, obviously, as mentioned previously on a bunch of different shows, was in that same draft class as Lonzo and is still kicking the shit out of him. Because even though Monty went 1 of 7 today, and 1 of 3 from deep and had 3 points total, that is still 3 more points than Lonzo has ever scored in the NBA playoffs. So it's not bad. But to be honest, Michael Bridges. Unbelievable. Like 10. So the 2 picks after Lonzo goes in 2017, you got Josh Pacey-Jackson, right? The Suns go, right, we've got a wing. Feel good about that. A year later, they do the weird sort of trade with Philly. They get Michael Bridges, the number 10 pick that year. And I just talked about Indy going, right, we've made a decision. Fuck it. We're not going to roll with that. We could. They could never, ever bring Coach Bjorkman get back anyway. So that was just, we're literally just waiting for the other shoe to drop on that one, right? But props to the Suns to go, right, fuck it. We just need more wings. I don't care that we drafted a dude number 4 last year. We'll get the 10th pick the year later. We'll develop him as well. And that's pretty ballsy. Like spending the 4 pick and then a 10 pick on players that play the same position is pretty gnarly. And I'll tell you what, Michael Bridges is repaying that right now. He is everything you want from a modern wing. He's got threes. He's playing D. He's got bounce everywhere. He was awesome today. He had 16 points. Well, he didn't shoot it great, but it didn't, like the way he hyped up that crowd, got everybody going. He went 5 of 12 from the floor, 2 of 8 from 3. 2 rebounds, 2 fouls, not a giant amount, but 16 points just everywhere. He's just engaged. He's just involved, and you love that from your wings. It's like basically the opposite of Josh Pacey-Jackson, actually, when you think about it, who's just floating, floating, floating. It's like, oh, wait, can I score? Guys, I need to score heaps. I'm really good. Anyway, so good job, Michael Bridges, today. You are better than Lonzo Ball. Right, let's do some Yenaz right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Darryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Illy.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some Yenaz. They are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, you've got the NBA playoffs, you've got footy season, and they're like, oh man, lockdown's done. It's like, yeah, we can't go anywhere or do anything. So how about we just call it the fucking easing of restrictions, the tiniest fucking bee's dick, because we're run by a pack of idiots here in Victoria. But the thing is, don't waste your time fucking putting on your mask to go outside like a fucking asshole. Thanks a lot, government. to go to the bottle, just think about that. Think about all those contact tracing sites that you see. Fuck that noise. Go to thedailyliquor.com. Stock up on all your beers, all your cocktails, all your wines, and they'll drop them off at your door. Rona free, Rona safe. And hopefully you better drink them in a fucking without wearing your mask. Jesus Christ. Anyway, a million awesome beers, a million awesome wines. Old mate's been punishing the wines of late as well. She reckons they're awesome, so I'll tell you what, I'm on the beers. Woo-wee, am I on the beers. Anyway, so if you bang in the code STRAYA when you check out at thedailyliquor.com, you'll also get a free six-pack of the DOS XPA. It's an amazing beer that you can drink till the cows come home. Bang in that code STRAYA at thedailyliquor.com. Remember, it's for the Melbourne metro area, obviously going to be over 18, and you get same-day delivery if you order before noon. So go get around thedailyliquor.com right now. And thank you, mate Jimmy, when you're drinking a free six-pack of the Dos Blocos XPO. Right, yeah, Nas. Should Rudy Gobert have won Defensive Player of the Year over Ben Simmons? Yeah, nah. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, look. Show me a player Ben Simmons can't defend, couldn't defend, and didn't defend this year, and I'll show you a player who doesn't exist. But also, look, you can't argue that Rudy Gobert didn't deserve it. He's been really fucking good. Three Defensive Player of the Year awards is insane Hall of Fame sort of territory, though. And I love that Ben Simmons made a point of going, I dropped 42 on this motherfucker. You reckon he's the Defensive Player of the Year? So props to Simo for going, fuck him. The big problem was, I'll tell you what, when it comes to defense, people aren't watching just like, oh, Simo locked down a motherfucker and made him pass the ball, you know? What really gets everybody losing their shit is seeing someone like Ben Simmons, like chest to chest bump, like a Kawhi Leonard or a Paul George or a LeBron, and then block one of their shots. And you do that a couple of times in the year, and you're gonna win Defensive Player of the Year, right? You helm a really good defense, like Simo did in the Philly defense all year, and away he goes. But again, look, you know, Rudy Gobert is the absolute fulcrum of that entire defense in the Utah Jazz, so you can't complain. So good job, Rudy. Simo probably should have, he would have been my choice. I think there was not a player that he couldn't have defended this year. Rudy also had, like, one of the great defensive years, so good on him. Should execs like Pat Riley get fined for talking about players or on other teams? Yeah, nah. I love this. Why are we fining them? I think it's a little, oh, but Jimmy, you can't have tampering, man. Are you kidding? We've got tampering anyway. Lean into it. Do you know how much fun it would be if we just had open season on, like, executives talking about other players, like Daryl Morey just in, like, Steph Curry's Instagram comments talking about how cute he looks. Pat Riley just out there making videos about, like, leaving keys under doormats for LeBron and shit. Because you know the Heat, like, social media department would be like, hey, Pat, just put this, put your key under the mat there. That'll be funny. That would be hilarious because I would love to see this because you could see just like the teams having to maybe rethink the way they hire their GMs and their president of basketball operations to not be a bunch of fucking nerds and be more like Pat Riley, like ass kickers. Old big dick Pat Riley throwing his rings on the table, etc. You'd love to see that. I think that'd be awesome. I think you'd also see which players actually respond to that. I think that'd be awesome fun as opposed to now. You start, Adam Silver, anytime he does the old, you can't do that. Why? What's the harm? Tampering is already going on. Like, you can't tell me that Pat Riley hasn't spoken to, like, somebody involved with LeBron's fucking agency and management at some point in the last couple of years. But because you're talking publicly about another team's player, get the fuck out of here. Brett Polgase, going a bit of a back and forth. It wasn't really so much a yeah, nah, but Brett sent me the message yesterday. Shaq's dissing of Donnie Mitchell a few months ago spurred him on today, I reckon. And I turned this into a yeah, nah. So yeah, nah, yeah. I reckon I mentioned this on yesterday's show, but the way we think about Donnie Mitchell is now going to change, isn't it? Because he got a fire lit under his ass by Shaq and co., and I actually kind of think it did help. and really did actually change his approach and go, wait, these guys are sort of calling me out. I've got to prove to everybody that I am an ass kicker, a name taker. And this is now 2 years of back-to-back insane playoff performances from Donny Mitchell, right? Like, of course, in the past, I've jokingly called him Steve Francis 2.0. It literally changed, like, January 6, 2020, I reckon. And since then, he's averaged, like, 30 points a fucking game. Like, it's insane how good he's been. Just, like, we've got to pretty much give him the tag of superstar easily because after what we saw him do in the playoffs this year, now he's backing it up again. And the way he's doing it, it is like D-Wade 2.0. It's D-Wade with a three-point shot. It's awesome. Like the way he was getting to the cup yesterday against the Clippers was like, yes, he's shredding Luke the Duckman Kennard. But still, like if Donny Mitchell was doing this in Charlotte and his last name was Ball, ESPN would have fucking jizzed in their pants and then completely melted down, right? Like ESPN wouldn't be an entertainment network. It would be a slag of like molten metal in Bristol. And like you'd go to their homepage or try to click on there on Foxtel or whatever, and there'd just be nothing because they would have blown up because of the Ball. He's been amazing. And the performances we've seen in front of him completely justified the superstar tag. And it's going to be absolutely fascinating to see how, and this is what I mentioned earlier, right? Like this is the great fun part of the playoffs because tomorrow we've got game two and that was game one where he drops 45. This is the great part of the playoffs. You get to see from game to game, the adjustments, the changes that the players and the coaches make. Let's see how Donny Mitchell does with the Clipper adjustments. Like for a team that have Kawhi, who sort of spent a bunch of time flipping between him with the Duckman. They've got Paul George. They've got Pat Bev. They've got Rondo. Like, what's Ty Lue going to cook up tomorrow? How's Donnie going to respond? This is awesome because we know that he can get his shot and we know that he can remain efficient because he did it against the Nuggets last year. He's done it so far these playoffs. But can he do it against a team like the Clippers where if you go, oh, gee, we need a wing player shut down. Who should we ask? I don't know. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Pat Beverly, Rajon Rondo, take your pick. I mean, Rondo's a bit cooked at this point, but still. So can Donnie keep this up for the series? It's going to be absolutely fascinating because he has been that good for the last 18 months that he should be able to. And this is why it's so much fun watching basketball. You've got superstars everywhere. Donnie Mitchell is just one of the latest, and he's a gun. He's not big. He's got to work hard for his buckets. That might be the key crucial part, but tell you what, he is a superstar. Unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Sorry, not sorry. Phoenix, Brooklyn is probably the most fun, best remaining finals matchup. Is that right? Phoenix, Brooklyn? Because just in terms of absolutely batshit crazy, holy crap, what is going on basketball, who out there can quite match it with Phoenix or Brooklyn? Not the Yaz, not the Nugs, you know, not the Clippers. Phoenix are easily the most electric offense in that West at the moment. And then in the East, like Brooklyn, just head and shoulders above, like what is happening? Apart, like non-Shake Milton division. Like Brooklyn can just like steamroll somebody out of nowhere. That's the thing though. We're going to see tomorrow how that Bucks-Nets series, you know, sort of goes in game three. But Phoenix-Brooklyn's probably the best finals matchup remaining. CP3, so Phoenix Clippers would be a great Western Conference Finals. That'd be awesome. Because imagine the Clippers, you know, get the monkey off their back of like making conference finals and then their old point guard puts them to the sword. But the finals Doc Bowl of Sixers Clippers would be kind of nice. Brooklyn Clippers would be kind of weird and fun. Utah Brooklyn would also, that'd be like some weird, wild matching basketball. I love that actually. Utah Brooklyn would be really fun. Especially after having sat through years and years and years of Brooklyn games in Brooklyn. And every time Utah came in, they always had like a sneaky large fan base randomly in New York, which is crazy. And I don't think I ever saw Brooklyn beat them. Anyway, Bucks Yaz would be very strange and probably Adam Silver's worst nightmare. Sixers Jazz would be kind of fun. Phoenix Atlanta would probably be the weirdest, right? Yeah, probably. Anyway, most fun, holy shit, what's going on teams? Phoenix Brooklyn. Yeah, let's do that. What about Outback Takehouse for today though, Jimmy? It's Thursday at Outback, you know what that means? 2-for-1 bloomin' onions. That's right, no prick knows what the fuck this is back in Australia, but we'll flog it off to you Yanks as deep fried onion. Nah, not an onion ring, it's a bloomin' onion. What's that, you ask? Well, it's a deep fried onion made to look like a fucking flower, you idiots. You fat pricks have no idea what you're talking about, do you? All we do in Australia with an onion is throw it on the barbie, cook it till it's as black as a dog's guts, then throw it on a saucy. That's all we do. Either way, 2-for-1 bloomin' onions. Goes great with the flame grilled take, and today's flame grilled take is LeBron had to press the emergency button after the Lakers got ousted from the playoffs in terms of marketing Space Jam 2, and that is why he's changed his jersey number back to number 6. He's got to stay in the news somehow, and with the Lakers not making the second round, let alone the finals, giving him the perfect pathway to launching Space Jam 2, LeBron's emergency button is, I'm going to make everybody buy him a new jersey. Only at Outback. I mean, spot the lie. Do you reckon if the Lakers are still cruising through and they make the finals this year and Space Jam 2 is coming out, do you really think he changes to number 6 for next year? I mean, actually, maybe if the Lakers had won the final, that'd mean LeBron had 5 rings and then he could change it to number 6 and say, hey, man, I'm chasing MJ 6, which would be great because then if he fell short, we could hold it over him forever. But anyway, yeah, it's 100% just marketing for Space Jam 2, which is a bit weird, but here we are. Right, let's take a break. Be back with a really quick, brief look at the Australian Player Watcher for the Australians tomorrow, but then an Andrew Gaze Grand Mum Reward for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. Right after, let's say, this one.
This is Chris Anstey, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's talk about Noble. What do? Game 2 legend Chris Paul, an upcoming award winner, NASA commander Scott Kelly, Chris Paul, and Scott Kelly, Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian, all have in common, well, they've all got incredible experiences. They've all created audio courses to teach you what they've learned, because they're on Noble, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach new skills in bite-sized audio courses. It's like Spotify for learning stuff. I love it. I keep talking about how, like, the squid listens to, like, nothing but Thomas and Friends story time, and then I listen to Noble. That's just how it goes now. Like, the Sonos is getting such a workout. Like, the kid hates it as well. He's like, Dad, whoa, it's talking. It's like, yeah, that's all fucking Thomas and Friends story time is as well, pal. Just talking. But anyway, you learn something from this. Anyway, the bloke from NASA talks about space, which is gnarly. As I've mentioned, I'm reading The Expanse. And when they talk about, like, the Coriolis effect and all this sort of stuff, I'm like, oh, I get that now. Anyway, Chris Paul talks about the performance benefits of a plant-based lifestyle. I had one of those chicken-free schnitzels last night in a wrap. It's fucking delicious. Anyway, Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian teaches you how to launch a startup. There's over 100 other experts waiting to teach you something new. So if you're keen on learning some new stuff today, download Noble from your app store, bang in the code Straya, and get 20% off. It's awesome. Noble's rad. I love it. So get it right now. Have a look. Have a listen. Get smart today. Right, the Australian Player Watch is pretty easy today because no Aussies were playing. But as mentioned, Big Semo Ben Simmons coming in second in the Defensive Player of the Year. You love to see that. And in terms of the actual voting breakdown, he had 15 first place votes, 67 second place votes, and 11 third place votes. Ends up with the 287 total points behind the 464 of Rudy Gobert. So look, he made a bit of a fist of it, but what can you do? On your Big Simo, let's. The thing is, like, if Simmons makes a bit of a big defensive run for the rest of these playoffs, it'll be in the back of everybody's mind for next year, and that'll be a very good bet, just saying. Aussie Matty T, that's right, Matisse Thybulle, as mentioned, had that third place vote as well. Ends up with 1 point, so he ends up 11th, which is pretty cool and pretty awesome. So great job, Matty T. And Jinglin' Joe Ingles, look, he's got a big game tomorrow up against the Clips. It's going to be fun on the bun. Cannot wait for game 2 of that one. See what happens. But either way, let's hope he can bounce back from the pretty rough shooting outing that he had yesterday. The 8.7 assists, the 3-12 shooting. And I love to see the people, oh man, as if Joe Ingles owned Paul George, man. He shot 3-12. That's got nothing to fucking do with it. Paul George shit the bed. He went 4-14. He was afraid. Joe Ingles gave Kawhi, that's right, Clamps himself, the fucking Clamps right at the end of that game. Joe Ingles stepped up the moment needed it. That's what Jingles does. Love it. Anyway, And who is out there defending Paul George at this point? Seriously. There was an amazing, amazing stat where of all the players across the years and years and years and years and years of NBA playoff basketball, there's only one player who shot less than 25% eight or more times. And guess what? His name is... Oh, that's right. It's Paul George. Unbelievable. Just imagine actually being out there and defending that spud. It's like, no, man. He's not that bad. Well, in fact, he actually is. And he actually is probably a little bit more. So, tell you what. Seriously, in the last 50 years of the NBA, that's his 12th playoff game with a field goal percentage under 25%. That's the most ever. So, just saying. Right, let's do an Andrew Gaze Great Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. It's the first
and you won the Andrew Gaze Great Mamba Award.
Clap it up. Yeah, there you go. That's a good clap. Chris Paul is Andrew Gaze Great Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence today because he's fucking excellent. Holy shit, his assist to turnover like ratio in the last three games is a pretty wild 19-1. He's had 38 assists and 2 turnovers. That was incredible. So he also became the first player with at least 15 points, 15 assists, and 0 turnovers in a playoff game since Chris Paul did it in 2014. Who was the first player to do it since Chris Paul in 2008? That is, as they said in the broadcast, that is excellence in 3 different decades. Holy shit. So 17, 15, 5 rebounds and 0 turnovers today. He's had 38 assists and 2 turnovers in his last 3 games, which was a closeout game against his old mucker LeBron, the Lakers, and then these first 2 games against the Nuggets. The way, though, he smells blood in the water is just something new. I love it. I absolutely love it. The thing is, since individual turnovers are tracked in 1977-78, literally every other player combined in NBA history with the 15-15 0 turnovers, there's been 4 games. One for Magic Johnson, one for Jason Kidd, one for Johnny Moore, and one for Norm Nixon. And Chris Paul is out there doing it, so... that's pretty excellent. Right, Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. It's a Jingles. That's right, Jingling Joe Ingles Twitter check-in today because he's just out there congratulating his big French mate. That's right. And also flogging his podcast. But anyway, the Jazz tweeted out the 1, 2, 3 at Rudy Gobert, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, 3 trophies emoji. Jingling Joe Ingles retweeted that, said, congrats, big fella, prayer hands emoji, prayer hands emoji, crew, prayer hands emoji at the Rudy Gobert, 27. Pretty nice. The Jazz also retweeted the Ingles Insight podcast. So, talking, you know, they're chatting to lecturer, advocate, and survivor, Utah Rabbi, as he talks about how therapy helped him own his story. Pretty cool. So, go check that out. But Jingle Joe Ingles out there supporting his teammate, saying congrats, big fella, to his big Defensive Player of the Year teammate. You love it. Right. Let's do some game previews for tomorrow.
Game previews.
Game previews. Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jimmy. How's it all going?
Oh, not bad. Lockdown fucking sucks. The biggest problem, look, walking outside and you're like, there's no one out here. There's no one else near me. And they're like, nah, you still need to wear a mask, man. This flipping by the government is just fucked. It's like, yesterday it was fine to, you know, have the masks off outside. Now today it's like, nah, we're going to keep them on. It's like, get fucked. Blow it out your ass. Anyway, so that's got me fucking annoyed more than anything. Today we went 1-1 on the picks because we picked the Suns, so not bad. That means we're 28-49 for the playoffs. Pretty good. Not a bad result. Now, tomorrow's games. We've got Brooklyn at Milwaukee at 9:30 Australian Eastern Time. And the Bucks are 3.5-point favorites at home, which is pretty crazy considering they just got absolutely straight kilt.
He got straight killed
by the Nets, literally, like yesterday. So, I'm going to take the Bucks. That's right, I am. I think the Bucks have a big bounce back. The big problem is, obviously, Buds and his long, long history of not making too many adjustments We'll come back to bite them. But I can't see the rest of the Nets role players shooting as well on the road in Milwaukee with opposing teams, fans everywhere. And look, anyone who out there is, oh, well, Brooklyn don't have any fans, has obviously never fucking been to a Brooklyn game and is an arsehole to boot. So the Milwaukee fans will get in the Brooklyn fans' heads, similar to the way the Brooklyn fans got in the Bucks' heads. And I think the Bucks bounce back in a big way. We get a really, really massive Giannis game. I think Chris, Kate, Pippa Middleton finally gets his shot going. And I think the Bucks win this one. I think we get a nice, handy Giroux game as well. So 3.5-point favorites for the Bucks. I think I'm going to take that. If they don't win this one, it is just all over Red Rover. Because if the Nets' terrifying death machine of an offense is just unstoppable, even on the road in Milwaukee in a game 3, yeah, watch out. I don't know. It's going to be fascinating. I think game 4 is the real pivotal one of this one. But, like, the crucial, crucial, crucial game 3 is Nets Bucks, just to see if the Bucks have anything left in the tank and if they can actually go hammering tongs with the Nets. So, fascinating. Can't wait. Anyway, Bucks minus 3.5. Clippers Jazz game 2. That's at noon tomorrow, Australian Eastern Time. I'm going to take the Clippers plus 3.5. They had a game where Kawhi was limited. Paul George couldn't hit a fucking shot to save his life. Mook Morris hijacked the offense and they lost by 3. Where the Jazz had 45 from Donnie Mitchell. And so I think the Clippers, with a couple more adjustments, maybe just to slow down that Utah offense a little bit, I think the Clippers win this one plus. So they're getting 3.5 points. I'm going to take the Clippers plus 3.5 points. I think I'll also take the points under in this one. I think the Clippers really give them the clamps. I think this is a bit of a brick fest, and the Clippers win this one about like 103 to like 98, and the Jazz just can't quite get the shots as easy as they could last game. So obviously, look, Utah, the rest of that team outside of Donnie Mitchell didn't shoot very well in game 1, and they still, you know, won. But I think the upside is there for the Clippers, so I'm going to take the Clippers plus 3.5. And in terms of the daily fantasy, I think you got to look at Kevin Durant, obviously, for the Nets. I think he's going to have a massive one. But I think if you're going to spend your money for your daily fantasy, Giannis is a goer. I'd even look at him for a triple-double. And for the Utah Jazz Clippers game, bit of a sneaky, sneaky bit. Keep Reggie Jackson in mind. I think he'll pop off. But Paul George, I think he's going to bounce back from that game and crush it. Even though I've given him so much shit, there's always one game where he goes off. And it's like, Playoff P is back. Let's see if it's this one. All right, there you go. We'll wrap all that up for you tomorrow. Remember to go to dkng.co/stray for all your daily fantasy needs. Love that. And we'll wrap all that up. Those two games should be fun on the bun. Cannot wait. So make sure you're following NBA Stray on Twitter, Face EIG. We're all over the socials all the time. You know that. Smash NBAStray.com/shop if you want to buy some merch. Get your merch. Get your merch. Check us a rating and review on your podcast app. Come on. Just do it right now. I'll wait here. Let's go review it. Just scooch through. Tap your stars, 5 stars, write a review. There you go, I'm back. Nice one. Check out thedailyliquor.com. Use the code STRAYA, get a free 6-pack. Knowable from your app store. Bang in the code STRAYA, get 20% off getting smarter. World Wrestling STRAYA. Our man Adam is out there absolutely crushing it on YouTube. So go check out World Wrestling STRAYA on YouTube. That's Adam from FWCI. Give him a follow on Twitter as well. Always great stuff. But World Wrestling Australia at the moment is kicking goals. It is awesome. So go check it out on YouTube. You'll learn heaps about wrestling, and there's lots of Australians getting fucking loose and doing great shit. So check it out. Big thanks have also got to go to from Oslo. From Oslo? From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. It's the best. Also, big thanks got to go to Joshua Delarentis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozer for the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Spotify, Apple Music, however you listen to your tunes. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And we're going to close out today's show, the new Diary of Stephen Adams, which is fun on the bun. Always love a good Diary of Stephen Adams. It's always the best. Love it. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. Remember, as NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? And especially if you're in Melbourne. Fucking lockdown, man. Anyway, drop us a line if you need to. I'm always here. Anyway, catch you tomorrow, dickheads. Later, Ozanna! The worst of these! The worst of these! Oh, after all, pal Stephen Adams here, eh? Just pop on by for my latest diary entry, bro. So here goes, eh? Oh, dear diary, it's me, Stephen Adams, bro. Oh, but you knew that already, eh? Because you're my diary, bro. And you know all my deep, dark secrets, eh? Like how this year, I keyed Lonzo's dad's car in the car park, bro, and I scratched Love Coach Stan into it. Just to see those absolute fucking lunatics rustle in the car park a little bit, man. Because it's always the funniest thing in the world. I'll tell you, Stan and Lonzo's dad, man. Oh, but shush, don't tell anyone it was me or I'll get in trouble. Anyway, bro, I've not been up to too much since the season finished, eh? Talked about it last week, bro, about how I had that little tussle in New Orleans last week when that fella rocked up at me and my best friend Zion. But mostly, bro, I've been waiting for a flight to take me home to NZ. For a bit, just a little bit there, to see my mum and dad and my 34 brothers and sisters, eh? But, yeah, man, it's a bit weird, eh? Flights out of the States are, to places like NZ are taking ages and they're super scarce, bro. So, I'm thinking after my little escapade last off-season sailing in the Caribbean, bro, I might even sail to NZ, eh? Like, what do you think, Dory? It'll probably take me yonks, bro, but the good thing is we got knocked out, we're not playing playoffs, so it's a long off-season still, eh? Like, and it's not like I need to work on my shooting or anything. Nice one, bro. But, yeah. I could drop in threes if I needed. Anyway, bro, so I'm thinking about driving to Mexico and then buying a boot, bro, and then seeing the NZ from there, man. Like, take on some provisions, basically a whole bunch of, like, tacos and shit, bro. Maybe figure out how to do some yacht hungies, eh? Can you do yacht hungies with fish? I don't know, eh? We're gonna find out. So what do you reckon, man? I might even see if my best friend Zion wants to come. But even though we love each other and we, like, hung out at, we, like, live in our bunk beds, bro, at Zion's mum's place in New Orleans, bro, it might be a bit too much, but I don't know, we are best friends. I'm definitely not going to ask Lonzo or that other fella, Brendan. He was my best friend, but that dude's a bit loopy, eh? Anyway, bro, so I reckon I'll do that, eh? I better go get ready and for the drive to Mexico and then get the boot ready and dig up all my pre-cooked yacht hungies from Zion's mum's backyard, eh? Just to make sure that Zion doesn't steal them while I'm away. So, till next week, bro, I might be on a boot, bro. Cheer, cheer, love, Stephen Adams, eh?